Good morning, everyone. How's everybody doing today? Good. I've got a few things I want to go over before we get into it. The first thing is, if you don't have one of these study guides, would you raise your hand and Thad will come around and pass them out. There's one in your bulletin, but perhaps your spouse or family member grabbed a bulletin you didn't. If you'd like one, that's what we're going to be following along this morning. The second thing I want to say is just welcome to the Arroyo Grande Seventh-day Adventist Church. I see a lot of visitors out here this morning. I see some familiar faces too. I want to welcome you here this morning. We want to thank you for spending part of your morning with us here at the Seventh-day Adventist Church in Arroyo Grande. With that being said, I also want to mention that our lunches are changing a little bit. We do have our fellowship lunch on the first Saturday of the month and the third Saturday of the month. If I got that correct, Erica, wherever Erica is. Yes? Okay, there you are. Yes? So the second and the fourth, we're not having any more lunches unless some people step up and volunteer to help over in the kitchen. So that's the current program that we have. So the first and the third, everybody's welcome to come on over and have lunch together. We have plenty of food. And today we have that as well. They're getting ready over there right now. They can hear me in there. Hello, potluck people over there. All right. So, with that being said, I was wondering if D is here. Is D here? She's in the kitchen. Oh boy. Okay. That's okay. Okay. Well, did everybody get their handouts? It's fine, Oscar. You gonna get her? Okay, I'm going to have to stall. Okay. Oh, come on in, D. Come on in, D. Everybody say hi, D. D is one of the secretaries here at our church. And I want to invite Ronnie up as well. Come on up, Ronnie. Yeah, you don't know about this. Okay. So somebody told me this morning that D and Ronnie are headed to, where are you headed to?
Peru.
Peru on Friday. Isn't that awesome? And they're going there to give of their time and their energy and their prayers. And you guys are going there to help with what?
It's an Agro Connections mission trip.
Okay.
To install solar panels on homes in a very poor community.
So you're going to a village to install solar panels on homes to people that don't have electricity. That is super cool. Yeah.
And then we also get to, we get to give Christmas presents.
Oh, you get to give gifts to people. Well, that's awesome. And I'm glad you two ladies are doing that. And I just wanted to have a prayer of dedication over you before you go. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's so awesome when people step up and respond to the call that you give us to go out and to give to others. And Father, Ronnie and Dee both have decided with their finances and with their time to travel over several continents to South America to give their time and their energy to these people that desperately need electricity and love. And so, Father, I just pray that you bless them as they go. And while they're over there, may they just draw closer to you and may they come back on fire for you and with a vigor and a fervor to serve you more and more. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you, ladies. That's awesome when people step up to the call of giving. So our sermon this morning is called "This Is What We Do." Turn to the person next to you and say, "This is what we do." Okay, now turn to the other person and say two times louder, "This is what we do." There we go, okay? And I see some people in the back, Smith, "This is what we do." And in the back over there, "This is what we do." And in the back over here, it's an individual single, "This is what we do." Right? Let's pray. Mighty God, I thank you so much for this time to come together to worship you because you're a good God. And Father, we realize that you've called us to an insurmountable task to give of our time, of our finances. And Father, this morning, I just pray that you'd inspire us and just, Father, teach us this morning that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. This is what we do, abundant giving. Yeah, you've all heard before that this saying, right? It is more blessed to what? How many of you believe that? Raise your hands. Okay, let me pray. We can go home. No. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And as followers of God, this is what we do. It may not be what everybody else does, but this is what we do. Amen? Get an amen. Good. Right? Here's the thing. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, we lead the way with irrational generosity. Amen? We see that and we go, this God sent his son down here to planet Earth to take on the weight of sin and condemnation that we deserve, and he took it upon himself. So we can turn around now and say, thank you, God, and we can give irrationally and generously and abundantly because of that. That should motivate us to give all the more. So, in your study guides, it says giving and being generous are two different things, right? Everybody can give, but not everybody can be generous. Right? You see, as followers of God, we want to grow beyond where so many people live today, and that's with a scarcity mindset. Instead, we want to have an abundant faith, an abundant giving for our good God. In your study guide there, you see where the circles are drawn. The first one is scarcity abundance, right? And I think every one of us, every one of us, deals with this, right? We're bombarded with it actually on Facebook and on TV and on the radio. And that is, we consume, right? We consume, we fear, and then we lack. And what happens? The process repeats itself. That's why the circle goes around. And so we do it again, and we do it again, and we do it again, and we do it again. This is actually a cycle. And when your scarcity is your mindset, as soon as you receive something, you consume it, you use it, and then the cycle continues again. And you may be saying, well, I wish I could give more, but I can't because I'm stuck in this cycle right here. Well, a few things is there's a different cycle you can choose to a path you can choose to go down. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But we also have to plug this for Elmer, who's not here right now. He's in Texas. He's probably watching on our live stream. Hi, Elmer. In January, we're having a Financial Peace University, and that is, how can we be more responsible about our finances? And if you'd like more information about that, check out our bulletin and call the office, and they will tell you when it is and where it is and what time it is. But abundance is a cycle, too, and it's on your study guides there. And we're going to go to it in just a minute. Here on the screen, it says, as Jesus followers, we don't serve a scarcity God, do we? God doesn't work with scarcity. He works with abundance, doesn't he? And so we serve an abundant God, so we need to have this kind of cycle as we think about giving. Number one is we give, right? We give, and what does that do? God multiplies that giving with the little that we give, and because of that, our own faith grows. How cool is that? And then we go back and we say, I want to give more. This is what we do, right? Amen? This is what we do. You know, the Bible talks about how we give 10%. So if we make $1,000, we write a check or bring $100 to give back to God, to give to the church, to give to God. You know, for years, I've been tithing. And I remember when I moved from Texas to Sunnyvale. Okay, we'd moved in the process of 5 years or 4 years it was, we moved, I think, four times or five times. We moved once a year. We moved to Sunnyvale, And our rent went from, you ready for this? $900 a month in Texas for a beautiful home, 3-bedroom, on property and backyard, okay, to $2,500 a month in the Bay Area. It's worse up there, Smith, okay? It's not as bad down here. Okay, Lacey did not have a job. I was working part-time at the church, and our bills went up. Well, I remember Lacey coming to me and she said, hey, Josh, we are going to write our tithe check, but at the end of the month, after everything's been done and the tithe check's gone through, we're going to be $1,100 short. You know what my response was? I'm going to be honest with you guys. Don't pay the tithe. Do you know what my wise and wonderful wife did? She paid the tithe. Do you know what I did? Oh, God, help me. Right? Oh, no. Well, let me tell you. Right at the end of the month, we went out to the mailbox, and she opened the mail. And there in the mailbox, this blows my mind, was a check from a settlement, which there was insurance that I had about 5 or 6 years prior to us being married, this health insurance that I had called Health Net, you've heard of it? Well, they were sued. And somehow, the lawsuit gave everybody who had Health Net money. And somehow, I hadn't updated my address, they had my address, because my address was from almost 10 years prior. They'd found my address. The mail was in my mailbox with a check for $1,100. This is what we do. God is good, isn't he? All the time. This is what we do. You know, because of his goodness, we tithe and we give, and as followers of God, we believe he pours out the windows of heaven and pours his blessing on us so that we can bless others. He multiplies. Then our faith grows, and then what happens? We give even more. The cycle continues around and around and around. And here's the thing. Everybody gives. I said it before, but not everybody is generous. And what do I mean by that? Well, what I want to talk to you today about is how do we as followers of Jesus grow to become abundant giving givers, reflecting the heart of an abundantly good God and blessing people all over the world. I want to talk to you about three different ways, if you turn your study guides over, three different ways as followers of Jesus that we can faithfully give. And if you're looking at your notes this morning, the first way is we are going to give spontaneously, right? In fact, that's what most of us do. We give spontaneously. There'll be a time where we see somebody in need and we think, you know what? I've got the resources. I've got the time. I've got the finances to help this person or this group at this point in time in my life. And you give. And I say amen to that. Maybe it's a person who's going through a hard time and needs help with rent. Maybe it's at the school board or church board. We've done that. We pass the hat around, right, for someone or something, a trip. Maybe it's the wildfires, right? Do you know we raised close to $7,000 in the last 2 weeks just for the people of Paradise? And we sent them a check. I told Dee to send it. I think it was on Wednesday. She sent the check up to Paradise. And that's because of you. Because God's blessed you and you've turned around and said, you know, I want to help these people who've lost everything. And I want to give what little I can. And I know God can take that little bit and he can do enormous things with it. He can do amazing things with it. So we give spontaneously. Maybe you weren't thinking about it, but you do it. You give spontaneously. And it's an important way to give. You guys know the story in the Bible about the Jewish man who was on the road, right, to Jerusalem. And on the road, some men came and robbed him, and they beat him, and they took everything he had, and they left him on the road to die. And you know, the story goes is that some religious guys came along, and they walked right on by him. They looked at him and said, ah, look at that guy. And they kept going. They didn't want anything to do with him. But then this Samaritan comes along, and if you know the story, Samaritans didn't associate with Jews. They wouldn't even touch him. They wouldn't talk to him. But this Samaritan comes along, and he helps him. And I think, you know, I don't think he didn't wake up and say, well, today I'm going to go help a Jewish guy. I don't think he thought that. I think what he said, what he thought, was this. This is Pastor Josh's interpretation, okay? Today I'm a servant of the Most High God. If there's a need somewhere I can meet, I'm available and on call to meet it. Yeah? That Samaritan saw the need, and he knew he could help this guy. And what did he do? He put oil on his wounds, he cleaned him, he put him on his donkey, and he took him to the local hotel. And there at the hotel, this is what Jesus said about him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense that you may have. It's a wonderful story of someone that helped another person, not only in a time of need, but through a society in which they didn't do that. And he crossed that boundary line, and he helped him. He was available. He was on call, and spontaneously he helped. You know, there was a church up north, and it was a fairly big church. And there was a gentleman that was attending, and he loved to give. And one day after church, he went home, and he just had this overwhelming feeling that he needed to give money, for some reason, to the lady who was leading worship. He didn't know why. And he thought about it, and he prayed about it all weekend. And then on Monday, he went into the church office and said, Pastor, I got to be honest with you. I brought some money with me, and I felt convicted that I need to give this to the lady who leads worship. And I don't know if I've ever heard from God before, but you talk about it all the time, Pastor, but I feel convicted. And he handed the pastor a big envelope filled with cash. And the pastor said, you don't know the story, do you? And he said, what story? And he said, well, the woman leading worship has 2 kids, and her husband has a rare blood disease, and they are struggling. And he said, I didn't know that. You know, when the lady and her husband received that, they cried and cried and cried. Because here's the thing, God knew their need. And God set up that man to be in that place at that time, and he convicted him to give. And he responded to God's call to give. And he blessed the family because of it. That spontaneous giving made a huge impact in the lives of several people. This is what we do. Say it with me. This is what we do. Right? This is what we do. I want to encourage you this morning to give spontaneously. But I don't want you just to give spontaneously. You start there, but you don't stop there, because we're not just supposed to give spontaneously. We're also supposed to give strategically. And that's what I want to talk about. We're supposed to give strategically. Here's a question. Do you give prayerfully and strategically? Let me tell you right now, you can give more if you plan on giving more. Have you thought about that? You can give more if you plan on giving more. See, if it becomes a part of your heart, your values, your strategy, you can actually give more. And if you plan to give more, you are a strategic giver. As Jesus' followers, the first 10% of what comes in, we give back prayerfully. And with a heart of worship, we give that back, right? We don't give last, we give first. Amen? We plan to put God first in every area of our life. And I put on the slide there, God, we worship you first. Amen? It's not a give when you want, give when you were prompted to. It's a strategic, prayerful response to the generosity of God, and we do it as an act of worship. See, we sing, we praise God, we hear the word, we pray, but giving of your finances is just as much of an act of worship as all those other things I said. Because it's faithful obedience to what God's called us to do. It's gratitude, saying, God, you are so good. You've given me everything. I'm going to give you some back. And you're going to take this that I'm giving back, and you're going to multiply it, and you're going to bless others, and it's going to be awesome. And it's going to be good. Read this with me here. But generous people plan to do what is generous, and they stand firm in their generosity. Yeah. Isaiah 32:8. Generous people plan to do what's generous, and they stand firm in their generosity. They're not fickle, they're firm. Amen? Generous people do what? Plan to do what's generous. Right? This is what we do. Most of us, when it comes to our money, we plan to spend it. We consume. I don't get any amens for that. Take out your phones. Let's see your phones. Come on. iPhone 7, iPhone 8, XR, Samsung Note 9. What do you got? MacBook Pros, flat screen TVs, Teslas. What is it? Come on. Boats. Right? We spend it. We see something we want and we claim it. Right? Maybe it's a, don't throw anything at me, ladies, okay? Maybe it's a new purse, right? I'm going to get that purse. Oh, man, in Jesus' name, I'm going to have that purse. Right? And I'm going to worship God in church with that new purse. And it's going to be so good. I can get out my little book, and I can write my check, and I can put it back in my nice purse that I bought, right? Maybe it's not a purse. Maybe it's shoes. Maybe it's a car. Maybe it's a phone. But what do? We consume. And here's the thing. We plan to consume. But as Jesus followers, we're not spiritual consumers, are we? Think about that. We're not spiritual consumers. We're supposed to be spiritual contributors. Giving back more than we get. We don't believe the church exists for us. It doesn't. We believe we are the church and we exist for the world. Amen? Instead of just planning to make the purchase, what if we as followers plan to make a bigger difference in the world with giving? This is what we do. Say it with me. This is what we do. You know, I knew a guy, quite personally, that he started giving 10% faithfully years and years and years and years ago. And he felt convicted that he was going to add strategically 1%, 2%, 3% sometimes a year. It got up to 60%. Wow. I look at that and say, no way, I could never do that. He did. He didn't make a lot of money, but he gave 60%. And he said to me, he says, you know, Josh, you cannot outgive God. And, you know, I was staying at his house with my wife as we were headed out to Texas. We stayed one night at this man's house, and I had not told him that I didn't have enough money to pay for my school bill up front, to pay for the books and the registration deposit. And as we left that morning, he handed me an envelope, and guess what was in the envelope? The money to pay for all my books and my registration deposit. See, this man, he knew what it meant to give. He knew that he would definitely be more blessed if he gave than if he just consumed. Because it's true. It's more blessed to give than to receive. There was another story that I heard. It's not my own story. It's another story I heard of a guy at a church down south. And he went to his pastor and he said, Pastor, I'm going to set a PGR this year. Anybody know what a PGR is? Yeah, a personal giving record. Every year he had a PGR, personal giving record, that he would try to beat from the last year. Because every year it was so much fun and the blessings that he got from giving were so great. You know, this doesn't happen by accident. It's strategic. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. Most people give at the end of the year. Right, Bob? I mean, we sit on the church board, and Bob chairs the church board, and we talk about, you know, the money at the end of the year and what we need. And our greatest giving month in this church and most churches is December. Why is that? Taxes, right? Taxes. And here's the thing. I want to encourage you to give this December, but I want you to think about something. What if we gave more in January than we did in December? What if we said, God, I believe in you so much, and I know you're going to bless this church or whatever church you go to. I'm going to give my greatest amount January 1st to show that I have faith in you and you're going to do amazing things. Can you imagine what that would do when we went to look at the finances in February? It'd be like, Bob, we're way over budget here. Something's really odd. No, these people, they care more about putting their trust in God than worried about their taxes at the end of the year. You see? So I want to challenge you this season of the year, this end of the year, to think about that as you give in December, but then also as it crosses over into the new year, to give in January. Generous people plan to do what's generous. That's what we do. This is what we do. So this third area, if you're taking notes here, in your notes it says we are going to give sacrificially, right? You know, I think there's a lot of powerful examples of giving sacrificially. But I think one of the greatest ones is found in Mark 12, 41 through 44. You can look in your Bibles or it's up on the screen. And it says the following. This is the story. And it says, and he, Jesus, sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. He was watching, right? Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came up and put two small copper coins, which make about a penny, into the box. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put more in than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put everything she had, all she had to live on, into that offering box. It's a good story, isn't it? You know, I think that it's kind of, well, I don't know what the word I'd use, strange, weird, that Jesus is sitting there watching what they're doing. Because what they do reflects what's in their hearts. You see that? How they give is reflecting what's in here. And Jesus is watching people put things in this offering bucket. And Mark said, a lot of rich people put what in? A lot of money, right? But this poor widow came and put everything she had, which wasn't very much, into the offering bucket. So what's really interesting to me is that Jesus is watching, number one. But second, I think it's fascinating that Jesus didn't stop her. Think about that. I mean, if I'm the pastor on duty there at the treasure box, and I'm sitting there, I'd be like, no, it's covered. We're good. You take your money and go buy some food for your kids. You know, go pay the rest of your rent. You need to be paid. But Jesus didn't rob her of the blessing, listen, of giving, and he celebrated her sacrificial gift. She's given more than anybody else, and this is what we do. This is what we do. When's the last time you received a blessing from giving sacrificially. Think about that. When's the last time you've given in such a way that you felt it and you love that you gave up something because it was a massive blessing for somebody else? This is what we do. Abundant giving. This is what we do. You know, I want to be clear for a minute. I want to ask everybody in here. I want to ask you to be generous. I'm going to ask you to give radically and generously to a church. Notice I didn't say our church. I said a church. Because maybe you're not from this area. Maybe you're visiting. Maybe you're from a different local church here. But I want you to find a church. Find a place where you can give. Where you can give back. And plug in there. Be a tither. Be a giver of your time and your resources financially to that organization. Give somewhere. If it's not here, find a place. Please come talk to me. I'll give you some places you can go to give. Because I think it's that important. Get involved. Get plugged in. This is what we do. Would you believe me if I said there's more? There's more to it. Because it's amazing what God can do with a little when He multiplies it through strategic, prayerful use of God's resources. You know, our local church here has done some amazing things and currently continues to do amazing things. You continue to do amazing things here. Hundreds of families in the local community are helped with food and support. We've helped many through school, from the preschool to elementary, even college, and even training for evangelism. Amen? We've helped people with that. We've helped missionaries around the world. And at the local conference, we have a camp meeting, which is where about 90-some-odd churches plus go up to Soquel for about 10 days. And we have a celebration, a worship service, an event, if you will. And we take up a special offering appeal there, and people contribute. And every year, for the last 4 or 5 years, correct me if I'm wrong, Bob, I think it's been about $1 million plus to give, to help spread the gospel, to help with Life Hope Centers, to help with different ways to do evangelism. So it's the people saying, hey, we believe in this and we want to help. And I don't know about you, but I'm inspired by that. It helps me be able to give and prayerfully, strategically plan to give. You know, we make improvements to our facilities and we keep them in good working order so we can better minister to others. We have reserves in the church built up so that when a need comes along, we can go to the board and say, hey, guess what? We need to help this person or this situation or that. So I thank you for that, because there's a lot of places that churches that don't have that. They're lacking in a lot of areas, and we don't have that problem. So as I close today, I want to ask you this. You know, I've been saying we a lot. You've heard that. It's been very intentional. But my question to you is, are you a part of we? Because this is what we do. Did you hear me say that? This is what we do. Notice I didn't say this is what 20% does or this is what 40% does. I said this is what we do, because I believe we, you and I, are the church. Amen? And so I ask you, are you a part of we? You know, here at our church, we have a lot more projects we're taking on. As Erica mentioned earlier, we have the Life Hope Clinic coming in February. We're going to help probably in the hundreds of, around 100 or so plus families here at the gym on a Sunday afternoon or Sunday. We're going to help medically and with a few other things as well. And we're raising money for that. So prayerfully think about that, right? We have our cross trainer fund. that we had a cross trainer for 2 years and we got a little bit behind in that fund. And we don't really want to tap into our reserves for that. We'd like to pay off the debt. That's why we're trying to do that, right? We have a worthy student fund for kids down at Valley View that we want to say, yeah, we want to help you, mom and dad. We want your children here at our school because we believe that because your children are here at our school, they'll be better citizens, they'll be more equipped for adulthood, and they'll be closer to God. You know, we have a radio station here at the local church as well. There's a lot of ministries that you can give to, but I truly believe that not just write a check and mark boxes, but to pray about it and say, God, where do you want me to give? Because I want to give strategically. I want to give to these areas sacrificially. Here's the thing, church family. God is the giver of every good and perfect gift, as James 1:17 says. Amen? And as image bearers, we're called to copy his giving, to be many pictures of his infinitely large heart. The larger our hearts and wider our hands, the larger the picture we paint of God's character. Here's the last thing I want to read, and then we're going to pray, and Bob's going to come on up. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we could ask, think, or imagine, to his power and be glorified in and through the church, that his name would be known for generations to come. Amen? So our giving involves future generations. And then I added this in here. We have no idea what God can do when the church rises up and says, because of what he did, this is what we do. Because of what he did, this is what we do. Let's pray. Father God, we pray today that you would inspire us to be your church, to share your love all over the world. Help us to be even more generous, to give spontaneously, to give strategically, and even, Father, give sacrificially. Today, God, I pray that you'd inspire us, that you would show us as followers what needs that we could meet in the lives of people around us. Father, make us strategic in how we use what we've been given. We're tithers, Father. We worship you because of what you have done. God, move us even beyond what we think is possible. Maybe we're sitting here this morning and we think, there's no way, I can't do it. But God, what is it you want us to give? Speak to us. Give us eyes to see and a heart to care, ears to hear your voice, that we could give sacrificially, even as you've sacrificed for us. Because of what you've done, God, this is what we do. And we'll lead the way with irrational generosity because we truly believe it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.